1043. That the cloud signifies the obscure light in which is the spiritual man as compared with the celestial man is evident from what has just been said about the bow. For the bow, or the color of the bow, has no existence except in the cloud. As before said, it is the darkness of the cloud through which the sun's rays shine, that is turned into colors. And thus the color is such as is the darkness which is touched by the brightness of the rays. The case is the same with the spiritual man. With him, the darkness which is here called a cloud is falsity, which is the same as the proprium of his understanding. When innocence, charity, and mercy are instilled into this proprium by the Lord, then this cloud appears no longer as falsity, but as an appearance of truth, together with truth from the Lord. Hence there is the likeness of a colored bow. There is a certain spiritual modification which can by no means be described, and unless it be perceived by man by means of colors and their origin, I do not know how it can be set forth to his apprehension. The nature of this cloud with the regenerate man may be seen from his state before regeneration. Man is regenerated through what he supposes to be truths of faith. Everyone supposes his own dogma to be true, and from this he acquires a conscience, for which reason, after he has acquired a conscience, to act contrary to what has been impressed upon him as truths of faith is to him contrary to conscience. Such is every regenerated man. For many are regenerated by the Lord in every dogma, and when they have been regenerated, they do not receive any immediate revelation, but only what is instilled into them through the Word and the preaching of the Word. But because they receive charity, the Lord works through charity upon their cloud, from which there springs light, as when the sun strikes a cloud, which then becomes more luminous and is variegated with colors. Thus also there arises in the cloud the likeness of a bow. The thinner the cloud, that is, the more numerous are the intermingled truths of faith of which it consists, the more beautiful is the bow. But the denser the cloud, that is, the fewer the truths of faith of which it consists, the less beautiful is the bow. Innocence adds much to its beauty, giving as it were a living brightness to the colors. All appearances of truth are clouds in which man is when he is in the sense of the letter of the word, for the language of the word is according to appearances. But when he believes the word with simplicity and has charity, even though he remains in appearances, this cloud is comparatively thin. It is in this cloud that conscience is formed by the Lord with a man who is within the church. All ignorance of truth are also the clouds in which man is when he does not know what the truth of faith is, in general when he does not know what the word is, and still more when he has not heard about the Lord. In this cloud, conscience is formed by the Lord with a man who is outside the church. For in his very ignorance there may be innocence, and thus charity. All falsities also are clouds, but these clouds are darkness, and are either with those who have a false conscience, described elsewhere, or with those who have none. These are, in general, the qualities of clouds. As regards their mass, there are with man clouds so great and so dense that if he knew of them, he would wonder that rays of light could ever shine through from the Lord, and that man could be regenerated. He who supposes himself to have the least cloud has sometimes a very great one, and he who believes that he has very much cloud has less. There are such clouds with the spiritual man, but not so great with the celestial, Because he has love to the Lord implanted in his will part, and therefore receives from the Lord not conscience as does the spiritual man, but perception of good and thence of truth. When man's will part is such that it can receive the rays of celestial flame, then his intellectual part is enlightened thereby, and from love he knows and perceives all things that are truths of faith. His will part is then like a little sun, from which rays shine into his intellectual part. Such was the man of the most ancient church. But when man's will part is wholly corrupt and infernal, and therefore a new will, which is conscience, is formed in his intellectual part, as was the case with the man of the ancient church, and is so with every regenerated man of the spiritual church, then his cloud is dense, for he needs to learn what is good and true, and has no perception whether it is so. Then also falsity continually flows in, which is the darkness of cloud, from his black will part, that is, through it from hell. This is the reason why the intellectual part can never be enlightened in the spiritual man as it is in the celestial. Hence it is that the cloud here signifies the obscure light in which the spiritual man is in comparison with the celestial. 1044. And it shall be for a sign of a covenant between me and the earth. That this signifies a sign of the presence of the Lord in charity, and that the earth here denotes the proprium of man, is evident from what has been already said. That the earth signifies the proprium of man is evident also from the internal sense, and from the connection in which it here occurs. For it was said before, "This is the sign of the covenant which I make between me and you, and every living soul that is with you," by which was signified whatever has been regenerated. But here it is said differently, "It shall be for a sign of a covenant between me and the earth." From this, and also from the repetition of the words, "sign of a covenant," it is plain that here something else is signified, and in fact that the earth means that which is not and cannot be regenerated, which is the proprium of man's will part. For man, when regenerated, is as to the intellectual part the Lord's, but as to his will part is his own, these two parts in the spiritual man being opposed. But though the will part of man is opposed, yet it cannot but be present. For all the obscurity in his intellectual part, or all the density of his cloud, is from it. It continually flows in from it, and in proportion as it flows in, the cloud in his intellectual part is thickened. But in proportion as it is removed, the cloud is made thin. Thus it is that by the earth is here signified the proprium of man. That by the earth is signified the corporeal part of man, as well as many other things, has been shown before. This condition of things between the will and the understanding is as if two who were formerly conjoined by a covenant of friendship, as were the will and the understanding in the man of the most ancient church, had their friendship broken and enmity had arisen, as took place when man wholly corrupted his will part. And then when a covenant is again entered into, the hostile part is set forth as if the covenant were with it. But it is not with it, because it is utterly opposite and contrary, but it is with that which flows in from it, as already said, that is, with the proprium of the understanding. The token or sign of the covenant is this, that in proportion as there is the presence of the Lord in the proprium of the understanding, in the same proportion will the proprium of the will be removed. The case herein is exactly as it is with heaven and hell. The intellectual part of the regenerated man from charity in which the Lord is present is heaven. His will part is hell. So far as the Lord is present in this heaven, so far is this hell removed. For of himself man is in hell, and when of the Lord he is in heaven. And man is being continually uplifted from hell into heaven. And so far as he is uplifted, so far his hell is removed. The sign, therefore, or indication that the Lord is present, is that man's will part is being removed. The possibility of its removal is affected by means of temptations and by many other means of regeneration. 1045. What has now been presented regards the regenerated spiritual man or the spiritual church. What is to follow regards all men in general, and afterwards specifically the man who can be regenerated. 1046, verses 14 and 15. And it shall come to pass, when I bring a cloud over the earth, that the bow shall be seen in the cloud, and I will remember my covenant which is between me and you and every living soul of all flesh. And the waters shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh. And it shall come to pass, when I bring a cloud over the earth, signifies when on account of the proprium of man's will part the faith of charity does not appear. That the bow shall be seen in the cloud signifies when man is still such that he can be regenerated. And I will remember my covenant which is between me and you signifies the mercy of the Lord specifically towards the regenerate and those who can be regenerated. And every living soul of all flesh signifies the whole human race. And the waters shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh, signifies that man's intellectual part should no more be able to put on such a persuasion for its destruction as did the posterity of the most ancient church. These things regard all men in general. 1047. And it shall come to pass when I bring a cloud over the earth, that this signifies when on account of the proprium of man's will part, the faith of charity does not appear, is evident from what has been said just above about the earth, or the proprium of man's will part. Namely, that it is of such a nature that it continually pours into the intellectual part of man what is obscure or false, which is a clouding over and is the source of all falsity. This is sufficiently evident from the fact that the loves of self and of the world, which are of man's will, are nothing but hatred. For in so far as anyone loves himself, so far he hates the neighbor. And because these loves are so contrary to celestial love, such things must needs continually flow in from them as are contrary to mutual love, and in the intellectual part all these are falsities. Thence comes all its darkness and obscurity. Falsity beclouds truth, just as a dark cloud does the light of the sun. And because falsity and truth cannot be together, just as darkness and light cannot, it plainly follows that the one departs as the other comes. And since this happens with alternation, it is therefore said here, when I bring a cloud over the earth, that is, when through the proprium of the will part, the faith of charity or truth with its derivative good does not appear, and still less good with its derivative truth. 1048. that the bow shall be seen in the cloud. That this signifies when man is still such that he can be regenerated is evident from the signification of the bow in the cloud, which is a sign or indication of regeneration, as said above. With regard to the bow in the cloud, the case further is this. The quality of a man or of a soul after the death of the body is known at once. By the Lord it is known from eternity, and what it will be to eternity. By the angels his quality is perceived the moment he comes near. There is a certain sphere which exhales, so to speak, from his nature, or from everything in him. And this sphere, wonderful to say, is such that from it is perceived in what faith and in what charity the man is. It is this sphere that becomes visible as a bow when it so pleases the Lord. Concerning this sphere of the Lord's divine mercy, we will treat hereafter. Hence it is evident what is here signified by the bow when seen in the cloud, namely, when man is such that he can be regenerated. 1049. And I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you. That this signifies the mercy of the Lord, specifically towards the regenerate and those who can be regenerated, also follows. For with the Lord to remember is to have mercy. Remembering cannot be predicated of the Lord, because from eternity he knows all things, both in general and in particular. But to have mercy is what is predicated of him, because he knows that such is man's character. That is to say, as before said, that man's proprium is infernal, and that it is his very hell. For by the proprium of his will, man communicates with hell, and from hell and from itself, this proprium desires nothing so much and so strongly as to cast itself down into hell. Nor is it content with this, but desires to cast down all in the universe. Since man of himself is such a devil, and the Lord knows this, it follows that his remembering the covenant means nothing but having mercy on man, and by divine means regenerating him, and drawing him to heaven by a mighty force, so far as the man is such as to render this possible. 1050. And every living soul of all flesh. That this signifies the whole human race is evident from the signification of living soul of all flesh. Every man is called a living soul from what is living in him. No man can ever live, still less as a man, if he has not something living in him. That is, if he has not something of innocence, of charity, and of mercy, or something from it like or emulating it. This something of innocence, charity, and mercy man receives from the Lord during infancy and childhood, as is evident from the state of infants and also from that of childhood. What the man then receives is preserved in him, and the things that are preserved are called in the word remains, and are of the Lord alone in the man. What is thus preserved is what causes the man, when he comes to adult age, to be capable of being a man. Concerning remains, see what is said above, number 468, 530, 560 to 563, 576. That the states of innocence, charity, and mercy, which a man has had in infancy and during the years of childhood, cause him to be capable of being a man, is plainly evident from this. That man is not born into any exercise of life, as brute animals are, but has everything to learn, And what he learns becomes by exercise habitual, and thus, as it were, natural to him. He cannot even walk or speak until he learns, and so with everything else. By use, these things become, as it were, natural to him. And such is the case also with the states of innocence, charity, and mercy with which he is, in like manner, imbued from infancy, and without which states he would be much viler than a brute. Yet these are states which man does not learn, but receives as a gift from the Lord, and which the Lord preserves in him. Together with the truths of faith, they are also what are called remains, and are of the Lord alone. Insofar as a man in adult age extinguishes these states, he becomes dead. When a man is being regenerated, these states are the beginnings of regeneration, and he is led into them. For the Lord works through the remains, as already stated. These remains with every man are what are here called the living soul of all flesh. That all flesh signifies every man, and thus the whole human race, is evident from the signification of flesh everywhere in the word. See what was shown in number 574, as in Matthew. Except those days should be shortened, no flesh would be saved. 24, verse 22. Mark 13, verse 20. In John, Jesus said, Father, glorify thy Son, as thou hast given him power over all flesh. 17, verse 2. In Isaiah, And the glory of Yahuwah shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. 40, verse 5. And again, And all flesh shall know that I, Yahuwah, am thy Savior. 49, verse 26. 1051. And the waters shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh. That this signifies that man's intellectual part should no more be able to put on such a persuasion for its destruction as did the last posterity of the most ancient church, is evident from what has been frequently said and shown before in regard to the waters of the flood, and also in regard to those before the flood who perished. Namely, that with them not only the will part was destroyed and made infernal, but also the intellectual part, so that they could not be regenerated, that is, have a new will formed in their intellectual part. 1052, verse 16. And the bow shall be in the cloud, and I will see it, that I may remember the eternal covenant between God and every living soul of all flesh that is upon the earth. And the bow shall be in the cloud, signifies man's state, and I will see it, signifies that it is such that he can be regenerated. That I may remember the eternal covenant signifies that the Lord can be present with him in charity. Between God and every living soul of all flesh that is upon the earth signifies with every man with whom this is possible. These things specifically regard the man who can be regenerated. 1053. And the bow shall be in the cloud. That this signifies man's state is evident from what has been said and shown above concerning the bow in the cloud. Namely, that a man or soul in the other life is known among angels from his sphere, and that this sphere, whenever it pleases the Lord, is represented by colors like those of the rainbow, in variety according to the state of each person relatively to faith in the Lord, thus relatively to the goods and truths of faith. In the other life, colors are presented to view which from their brightness and resplendence immeasurably surpass the beauty of the colors seen on earth, and each color represents something celestial and spiritual. These colors are from the light of heaven, and from the variegation of spiritual light, as said above. For angels live in light so great that the light of the world is nothing in comparison. The light of heaven in which angels live, in comparison with the light of the world, is as the noonday light of the sun in comparison with candlelight, which is extinguished and becomes a nullity on the rising of the sun. In heaven there are both celestial light and spiritual light. Celestial light, to speak comparatively, is like the light of the sun, and spiritual light is like the light of the moon, but with every difference according to the state of the angel who receives the light. It is the same with the colors, because they are from the light. The Lord himself is to the heaven of the celestial angels a sun, and to the heaven of the spiritual angels a moon. These things will not be credited by those who have no conception of the life which souls live after death, and yet they are most true. 1054. And I will see it. That this signifies that he is such that he can be regenerated is evident from the fact that to see anyone, when predicated of the Lord, means to know his quality. For the Lord knows all from eternity, and has no need to see what anyone is. When anyone is such that he can be regenerated, then it is said of the Lord that he sees him, as also that he lifts up his countenance upon him. But when he cannot be regenerated, it is not said that the Lord sees him or lifts up his countenance upon him, but that he turns away his eyes or his face from him, although it is not the Lord who turns them away, but the man. Hence in the 14th verse, where the whole human race was treated of, in which there are many who cannot be regenerated, it is not said, when I see the bow in the cloud, but when the bow shall be seen in the cloud. As regards the Lord, the case is the same with seeing as it is with remembering, which in the internal sense signifies to have mercy. Concerning this, see above, number 840, 1049, and also number 626. 1055. That I may remember the eternal covenant. That this signifies that the Lord can be present with him in charity is evident from what has been said and shown about the signification of a covenant, namely that there is no other eternal covenant than love to the Lord and love towards the neighbor. This is eternal because from eternity to eternity. The universal heaven is founded in love, and so is universal nature. For in nature nothing whatever is possible, in which there is any union and conjunction, whether it be animate or inanimate, that does not derive its origin from love. For every natural thing comes into existence from something spiritual, and the spiritual from the celestial, as said above. Hence love, or a semblance of love, has been implanted in all things in general and in particular. With man alone there is not love, but the contrary, because man has destroyed in himself the order of nature. When, however, he can be regenerated or restored again to order and can receive mutual love, then there is the covenant or conjunction by charity that is here treated of. 1056. between God and every living soul of all flesh that is upon the earth. That this signifies with every man with whom this is possible is evident from what has been said, namely, that the subject here treated of is those who can be regenerated. No others, therefore, are signified by every living soul of all flesh. 1057, verse 17. And God said unto Noah, This is the sign of the covenant which I have established between me and all flesh that is upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, signifies that the church should know this. This is the sign of the covenant which I have established between me and all flesh that is upon the earth. Signifies that the indication of the presence of the Lord in charity was not only with the man of the church, but also with the man who is outside the church. 1058. And God said unto Noah, That this signifies that the church should know this is evident from the series of things treated of, which does not appear except from the internal sense in which these things are thus connected. First, the regenerated spiritual man within the church is treated of. Second, every man universally. Third, every man who can be regenerated. And this is the conclusion, namely, that the church should know this. That Noah is the church was shown before, and here indeed he is the spiritual church in general, because Noah alone is named. What the church should know now follows. 1059. This is the sign of the covenant which I have established between me and all flesh that is upon the earth. That this signifies that the indication of the Lord's presence in charity was not only with the man of the church, but also with the man outside the church, is evident from the signification of all flesh as being every man, and consequently the whole human race. That the whole human race is meant, both within the church and without the church, is evident not only from its being said, all flesh, but also from its not being said as before, every living soul of all flesh. And this is made still plainer from its being added, that is upon the earth. That with those who are outside the church and are called Gentiles, the Lord is equally present in charity as with those who are within the church, you may see stated above, number 932, 1032. He is even more present, for there is not so great a cloud in their intellectual part as there is in general with those who are called Christians. For the Gentiles are ignorant of the word, nor do they know what the Lord is, consequently not what the truth of faith is. And therefore they cannot be against the Lord and against the truth of faith. Hence their cloud is not against the Lord and the truth of faith. And such a cloud may be easily dispersed when they are enlightened. But the cloud Christians have is against the Lord and against the truths of faith. And this cloud is so dense as to be darkness. And when there is hatred in place of charity, then it is thick darkness. Still darker is it with those who profane the truths of faith, which the Gentiles cannot do because they live in ignorance of the truth of faith. No one can profane that of which he does not know the nature or the existence. This is why more of the Gentiles are saved than of Christians, in accordance with what the Lord also said in Luke 13, verses 23, 28-30, besides that their children all belong to the Lord's kingdom, Matthew 18, verses 10 and 14, 19, verse 14, Luke 18, verse 16. 1060, verse 18. And the sons of Noah that went forth from the ark were Shem and Ham and Japheth. And Ham is the father of Canaan. The sons of Noah that went forth from the ark signify those who constituted the ancient church. That went forth from the ark signifies those who are regenerate. Shem signifies the internal church. Ham signifies the church corrupted. Japheth signifies the external church. And Ham is the father of Canaan, signifies that from the corrupted church sprang worship in externals without internals, which worship is signified by Canaan. 1061. And the sons of Noah that went forth from the ark. That these signify those who constituted the ancient church, and that they that went forth from the ark are those who are regenerate, is evident from all that follows, from which it will be plain how the case is. 1062. That Shem signifies the internal church, Ham, the church corrupted, and Japheth, the external church, is also evident from what follows, where their quality is described. As in every church, so in the ancient there were men who were internal, men who were internal and corrupted, and men who were external. Those who are internal are those who make charity the chief thing of their faith. Those who are internal and corrupt make faith without charity the chief thing of their faith. And those who are external think little about the internal man, but still perform works of charity and sacredly observe the rites of the church. Besides these three kinds of men, there are no others who are to be called men of the spiritual church. And because they were all men of the church, they are said to have gone forth from the ark. Those in the ancient church who were internal men, that is, who made charity the chief thing of their faith, were called Shem. Those who were internal and corrupt, who made faith without charity the chief thing, were called Ham. While those who were external and thought little about the internal man, but still performed works of charity and sacredly observed the rites of the church, were called Japheth. The nature of each will be seen from the particulars in what follows. 1063. And Ham is the father of Canaan. That this signifies that from the corrupted church sprang worship in externals without internals, which worship is signified by Canaan, is also evident from what follows. For what is contained in this verse is premised to what is in the following verses. That Ham signifies the corrupted church, that is, those who make faith separate from charity the chief thing of their faith, is evident in David. He smote all the firstborn in Egypt, the beginning of strength, in the tents of Ham. Psalm 78, verse 51. By the firstborn in Egypt was represented faith without charity. That faith is called the firstborn of the church may be seen above, number 352, 367. And that faith is thence called the beginning of strength, as here in David, may be seen in Genesis 49, verse 3, in what is said of Reuben, who represented faith because he was the firstborn of Jacob, and is called the beginning of strength. The tents of Ham are the worship therefrom. That tents signify worship may be seen above, number 414. Egypt is hence called the land of Ham. Psalm 105, verses 23 and 27. 106, verse 22. Such men, who in the ancient church were called Ham, because they lived a life of all lusts, merely prating that they could be saved by faith howsoever they lived, appeared to the ancient people black from the heat of lusts, and from this were called Ham. Ham is said to be the father of Canaan, for the reason that such men care not at all how a man lives, provided he observes sacred rites, for they do still desire some worship. But external worship is the only worship for them. Internal worship, which belongs solely to charity, they reject. Hence Ham is said to be the father of Canaan. 1064, verse 19. These three were the sons of Noah, and from these was the whole earth overspread. These three were the sons of Noah, signify these three kinds of doctrines, which are those of churches in general. And from these was the whole earth overspread, signifies that from them have been derived all doctrines, both true and false. 1065. These three were the sons of Noah. That these signify these three kinds of doctrines, which are those of churches in general, has been shown just above. There are indeed innumerable less universal kinds of doctrines, but there are not more kinds that are universal. Those who do not acknowledge charity and faith, nor external worship, are not of any church. They are not treated of here, because it is the church that is treated of. 1066. And from these was the whole earth overspread. That this signifies that from them were derived all doctrines, both true and false, is evident from the signification of earth. Earth or land in the word is used with various meanings. In the universal sense, it denotes the place or region where the church is or where it has been, as the land of Canaan, the land of Judah, the land of Israel. Thus it denotes universally everyone that belongs to the church, since the land is predicated of the man who is in it, as we know in common speech. In ancient times, therefore, when men spoke of the whole earth, they did not mean the whole globe, but only the land where the church was, and thus the church itself, as is evident from the following passages in the Word. In Isaiah, behold, Yahuwah maketh the earth empty. The earth shall be utterly emptied. The earth shall mourn and be confounded. The earth also shall be polluted under the inhabitants thereof. Therefore shall the curse devour the earth. Therefore the inhabitants of the earth shall be burned, and man shall be left feeble. The cataracts from on high are opened, and the foundations of the earth do shake. The earth is utterly broken. The earth is clean dissolved. The earth is moved exceedingly. The earth reeling shall reel like a drunken man, and shall be moved to and fro like a hut, and the transgression thereof shall be heavy upon it, and it shall fall, and not rise again. 24, verses 1, 3-6, 18-20. The earth here denotes the people who are in it, and in fact the people of the church. Thus the church itself. And the vastated things of the church, of which when vastated, it is said that they are emptied, moved exceedingly, reel like a drunken man, moved to and fro, and fall not to rise again. That by earth or land is signified man, consequently the church, which is of man, may be seen in Malachi. All nations shall call you happy, for ye shall be a delightsome land. 3, verse 12. That earth denotes the church is seen in Isaiah. Have ye not understood the foundations of the earth? 40, verse 21. Here the foundations of the earth denote the foundations of the church. Again, for behold, I create new heavens and a new earth. 45, verse 17. 46, verse 22. Revelation 21, verse 1. New heavens and a new earth denote the kingdom of the Lord and the church. In Zechariah, Yahuwah who stretcheth forth the heavens, and layeth the foundation of the earth, and formeth the spirit of man within him. 12, verse 1. This means the church. Also as before in Genesis, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. 1 verse 1. And the heavens and the earth were finished. 2 verse 1. These are the nativities of the heavens and of the earth. 2 verse 4. All this denotes the church created, formed, and made. In Joel, the earth quaked before him, the heavens trembled, the sun and the moon were darkened. 2 verse 10. This means the church and the things that belong to the church. When these are vastated, heaven and earth are said to quake, and the sun and moon to grow dark. That is love and faith. In Jeremiah, I beheld the earth, and lo, a void and emptiness, and the heavens, and they had no light. 4, verse 23. Here the earth plainly denotes the man in whom there is not anything of the church. Again, the whole earth shall be desolate, yet will I not make a full consummation. For this shall the earth mourn, and the heavens above be black. 4, verses 27 and 28. Here also the church is meant, whose exteriors are the earth, and the interiors the heavens, of which it is said that they shall be black, with no light in them, when there is no longer wisdom of good and intelligence of truth. Then the earth also is empty and void, and also the man of the church who should be a church. That by the whole earth is meant in other places also only the church may be seen in Daniel. The fourth beast shall be a fourth kingdom upon earth, which shall be diverse from all the kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, and shall tread it down and break it in pieces. 7, verse 23. The whole earth denotes the church and what belongs to the church. For the word does not treat, like profane writings, of monarchical sovereignties, but of the holy things and states of the church here signified by the kingdoms of the earth. In Jeremiah, a great tempest shall be raised up from the uttermost parts of the earth, and the slain of Yahuwah shall be at that day from one end of the earth even unto the other end of the earth. 25, verses 32 and 33. Here, from one end of the earth even unto the other end of the earth, means the church and everything belonging to the church. In Isaiah, the whole earth is at rest and is quiet. They break forth into singing. 14, verse 7. Here the whole earth denotes the church. In Ezekiel, when the whole earth rejoiceth. 35, verse 14. Here also the whole earth denotes the church. In Isaiah, I have sworn that the waters of Noah should no more go over the earth. 54, verse 9. Here the earth denotes the church, because the church is there treated of. Because land or earth in the word signifies the church, it signifies also what is not the church. For every such word has contrary or opposite meanings. As, for example, the various lands of the Gentiles. In general, all lands outside the land of Canaan. Land is therefore taken also for the people and for the man outside the church, and hence for the external man, for his will, his proprium, and so forth. The term is rarely used in the word for the whole world, except when the whole human race is meant as regards its state, whether of the church or not of the church. And because the earth is the containant of the ground, which also signifies the church, and the ground is the containant of the field, the word earth signifies, because it involves, many things. And what it signifies is evident from the subject treated of, which is that of which the term is predicated. From all this it is evident that by the whole earth that was overspread by the sons of Noah, is not signified the whole world or the whole human race, but all the doctrines of the churches, both true and false. 1067, verse 20. And Noah began to be a man of the ground, and he planted a vineyard. And Noah began to be a man of the ground, signifies in general man instructed from the doctrinal things of faith. And he planted a vineyard, signifies a church therefrom. A vineyard is the spiritual church. 1068. And Noah began to be a man of the ground. That this signifies in general man instructed from the doctrinal things of faith is evident from the signification of ground, concerning which see above number 268, 566, namely, the man of the church, or what is the same, the church. For that there may be a church, the man must be a church. The church is called ground because it receives the seeds of faith, or the truths and goods of faith. Ground is distinguished from earth, which, as shown, also signifies the church, as faith is distinguished from charity. Just as charity is the containant of faith, so is earth the containant of ground. When, therefore, the church is treated of in general, it is called earth, and when specifically, it is called ground, as in this verse. For the general is the complex of the things derived from it. The doctrinals possessed by the man of the ancient church were, as before said, from the revelations and perceptions of the most ancient church, which had been preserved. And in these they had faith, as at this day we have in the Word. These doctrinal things were their Word. Noah's beginning to be a man of the ground signifies, therefore, man instructed in the doctrinals of faith.